Before we begin today's story, here's a word from a fellow podcaster.
Hello there. I'm Meredith Bush, the host of Woman's Place podcast, and a fan of Once Upon a Time, a storytelling podcast. If you like delving deeper into those stories, you might also want to brush up on your women's history. There are a lot of stories to be told that are left out of history narratives. We believe that woman's place is wherever she wants to be, and I invite you to join me to learn more by checking out Woman's Place podcast on all streaming outlets and following us on social media for more content and to connect.
My name is Talia Smith, and you're listening to Season 3 of Once Upon a Time, a storytelling podcast. There are stories all around. We tell stories every day. We consume books and movies, travel the digital landscape, and we talk to people. How could we connect without stories? I think it's impossible. This season, we explore all of what home can mean through sharing stories with a strong sense of place, love, family, or tradition. Join us for Once Upon a Time, a storytelling podcast, Season 3. This episode was recorded in Colorado and Maryland and tells the story of the cross. Enjoy! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have an incredible guest host. We have Nina Polk. Nina is an Indigenous collegiate athlete who plays modern lacrosse at Fort Lewis College. She is committed to both games of lacrosse, modern and traditional. She uses her TikTok platform to teach about both of the games of lacrosse and to represent her people and culture. Welcome to the podcast, Nina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, just lounging around in my dorm right now currently, but good day.
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm so excited to talk to you and to share your story. This episode is going to be a little different than some of our previous episodes because we're kind of getting a two-for-one deal. We're going to learn both about Nina and traditional lacrosse, and I'm really excited about it. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories.
Yes, of course.
Before we begin, can you give us some fun facts about yourself?
Yes, of course. So I Hami Takiapi, Maka Kamaniwia, Imakchiapie, Washichumie, Nina Polk. So hello everyone. My name is Nina Polk and my Lakota name is Maka Kamaniwia, which means woman who walks on earth. And I am an Indigenous collegiate athlete that plays for Fort Lewis College, which is a D2 school. I wouldn't have ever considered playing modern lacrosse if it wasn't for traditional lacrosse and the version I play, which is the Great Lakes. So we'll get into that a little later. And another fun fact is that I was also like noticed a few times by Paul Rabel, who is like an amazing professional lacrosse player. He's seen like some of my published articles and watched a few of my TikToks that were on differences between modern and traditional lacrosse.
That's awesome. So why don't you introduce this story and share your journey through lacrosse?
So I basically grew up with a young mom and dad who was still in college. And my mom is a very artistic person and my dad's a very athletic person. So nice. I was a toddler when my mom was still studying and getting her master's degree in art. So I always grew up watching her create her art, do paintings, drawings, her homework assignments for her art classes. And I was just like so amazed by how she was like making art and putting our culture into it. Now she's a pretty successful artist and I'm very proud of her for that. So I was all about art when I was younger. I was like, I will pursue art when I'm older. Like, this is going to be my thing. But also, I kind of wanted to be like my dad as well and find a sport. So I'm a very tall person. I am 6'1".
And oh, wow.
Yeah. So when I was a toddler, like people didn't think I was my age because of my height. And a lot of people kind of gave me like a little bit of crap about it, or my parents crap about it if they would lie about me. So a little fun fact too, but because of that, I wanted to like try a few sports. My dad was a collegiate basketball player. That was his sport. I just didn't really know what sports to play. And I was like, do I want to play sports?
Right.
So I tried out basketball because of my dad playing basketball. And honestly, it wasn't something I truly loved because of my teammates and my coaches. Okay. So my coaches would either pick their favorites or they just didn't know how to coach the sport. So right. That was a lot for basketball. And because of how like skinny and tall I was in my years, I would get made fun of. And yeah. It's kind of ironic because they want tall players. Like,
yeah.
And I was like the tallest player. So, but that kind of made me just like fall out of love for basketball and try new sports. But I still pushed through and tried out volleyball for a year, but that kind of fell through because of the coaches again. And it was like, these were like the middle school days. So I did only volleyball for sixth grade, I'm pretty sure. And I did basketball for sixth through seventh grade. And eighth grade, I transferred to a completely new middle school.
That's so funny. So did I. Eighth grade, I went to a new middle school.
Yeah, like having young parents, I kind of just moved all around. So I never really stayed in a certain district for a long period of time. I transferred to a middle school in Prior Lake, which is called Hidden Oaks Middle School.
Okay, and where is that? Where is Prior Lake?
It's in located in Minnesota in the Twin Cities area, kind of like 15 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And it was predominantly a white school. Because of that, like, I was a little intimidated because of being a brown girl, and my old school was pretty diverse. Yeah. But I still didn't like recognize any other native kids around me. So moving to like a more predominant white school, I was like kind of scared and nervous about that. But because of that, I didn't join any sports into eighth grade. This is where lacrosse comes in.
Okay.
My mom's kind of like seeing that I was a little fatigued on like what sports I wanted to do and like if I even wanted to continue sports at all. My grandma on my mom's side, she saw a flyer for a group called Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, and she introduced that to my mom. My mom introduced it to me, talking about it if I wanted to try it out. And honestly, I was kind of scared because I didn't think I was going to love it. I ought to give it a try. So I went to the first practice, quote unquote, and I felt like I fit in like a little bit because I just seen a few like indigenous kids just running around, just having fun, introducing themselves. And I was just like, okay, I could go with this. So
yeah.
Then that's when I met Coach John Hunter. So he's one of the head coaches and people who like runs the club.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced me to some of the kids in there. We started to talk about the game traditional lacrosse, or creator's game, as some people call it.
First of all, thank you so much for introducing your childhood and getting personal. That's always really brave for people to talk about. And also, I always find it fascinating how, you know, sometimes your parents' interests have such an effect on your own. The art and the sports, like, I can definitely relate to that. My parents are, like, athletic and artsy as well, and it creates such an interesting combination. Because, like, what are you good at? Like, what should I do? And the funniest thing, this is a little bit of a tangent, but the funniest thing I always think of, my parents put me in a soccer game when I was 6 years old. And I was so bad. I was dancing in the goal. And my parents were like, yep, sports, not for her. So let's go back to lacrosse. I'm so excited to learn about your journey into the creator's game. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's what like some tribes can call it. So there's not only one version of traditional lacrosse. What I know is there's stickball. There's the Great Lakes stick, which is what I play, that has like a characteristic hoop at the end of the stick. And the stick that the Iroquois use. Stickball was like kind of predominantly in the south of the U.S. And today many of these tribes like have a reservation in the communities in Oklahoma. And these,
okay,
the Great Lakes of like what I play, it's played just all around the Great Lakes, including Canada. So Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. So around that area. And then for the Iroquois, it's like in the New York and part of Canada, but the north part of the state near Canada.
You mentioned that you were in a league starting in around eighth grade. Are there a lot of different leagues for traditional lacrosse or the Creator Scheme that you know of?
Not too many. I know one that's in Sisseton, or lives around in that area in South Dakota.
So tell us more about how you got involved and what it was like playing lacrosse for the first time.
So again, I was just pretty nervous. John Hunter introduced a stick and I held it, and it was amazing, to be honest. Like, I felt kind of connected to just the stick, and just I wanted to like learn more, and it was just so interesting. So we did like a few drills where we'll learn how to scoop and pass and score, and it got me to like just experiment more and want to like see how this goes. If it wasn't for that first lesson, I wouldn't have known lacrosse was a thing at all.
Really?
Like, I never knew lacrosse was a thing until that day.
That's so interesting to me, because I'm from, my listeners know I talk about it too often, I'm from Maryland, and lacrosse is a very big deal here.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those sports that kids play, like, from when they were little. And, I mean, I'll give my school credit. Like, we learned about the origins of lacrosse a little bit growing up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we didn't, I mean, I can't, we were young and I don't remember how much we learned, but I definitely remember learning that it was an indigenous sport and it was Maryland's team sport. And I think I've probably been to more lacrosse games than any other sports games, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you discovering this sport that you didn't grow up around?
It was just bizarre that I didn't know it was really a sport at all. Knowing that it came from my people is like even more special, and honestly kind of crazy for me not knowing what it really was. But I remember too, like, when my cousins, they were pretty much all about lacrosse as well, and they kind of taught me just a few things with the men's stick, and I was just like, what the heck is this? But it's fun. So we'll always have play dates with them. I kind of grew up with them. It was not till that group where I went to my first like lacrosse game, and that was when the Swarm was still a thing, like in Minnesota, and that had like the Thompson brothers still playing, and it was really fun and really cool to watch.
So can you explain what the Swarm is for those unfamiliar?
So the Swarm was like, it used to be a professional like team for Minnesota. They played like box lacrosse. So it wasn't like field lacrosse. So the goals were a lot smaller. The goalies are a lot bigger. And it was very like small kind of box field for them to play. So there was a lot of contact, a lot more than like a field game. And like my family went to that game too. And we like just seen the Thompson brothers play, who are like indigenous players as well. And they are really good at this game as well, which is like amazing. And I really look up to them. I was just like blown away by the sport. It was so much fun. If it wasn't for the traditional lacrosse group, like I wouldn't have gone at all.
Okay.
I'm still currently playing with them for fun and stuff, but I kind of started learning that around the eighth grade almost.
Okay.
That was kind of my sport I did while in eighth grade when I transferred and not doing any of the school sports. So there was like a little, like a kids league and like an adults group with the, I would just play for fun. And the adults seen me play with the kids and they wanted me to play in the adult group and see how that goes. And I was kind of like freaked out about that. I was like, oh god, these people are really tall, they're very fast. I'll go for it because I absolutely love it. So
that's awesome. And when you love something, like, it doesn't matter. You just kind of go and you just shoot your shot.
Yeah, and just like, bet I will. That was like when I really started playing, because like the adults would play more than the kids, kind of.
Okay.
Like, just whenever we get the chance, we'll play, and I will just go, no matter what age. And months go on, then the little kids club would like learn the modern game as well. And that was when I was just learning more about the modern game, kind of just learning the basics.
So I'm really curious to know the differences between modern lacrosse and traditional lacrosse. Can you explain those for me?
So one of the main differences you would see is obviously like the stick and the goals. So the wooden stick I have is just kind of small, and it has a hoop shape at the end, which is like the pocket, and the goals would be just a wooden post, just a pretty tall like wooden post, and you just shoot the ball or tap the ball on the post, and that's a goal. And modern lacrosse is just the usual like modern shaft, like it's a little bit longer, has a bigger shaped head, and it's close to what the Iroquois use. And that was kind of like the stick where the non-natives appropriated it.
Okay, so that's like the stick that we see most of the time when somebody says they play lacrosse.
Yeah, and the modern goal is just that big box, kind of, and around like my height and wide. It has a net, and you just shoot the ball at the net. Okay. And there's a goalie there. We never really had goalies for traditional lacrosse, but we'll have someone who like guards it.
So when you were learning how to play, I mean, they sound like sibling sports in a way, like similar enough, but also very different. Was it a difficult transition to learn modern lacrosse from traditional?
It kind of was. Passing and shooting with both sticks are kind of completely different. So with the traditional stick, if you want to like shoot at something or long pass, you would want to like not follow through with it, or else the ball would just go straight to the ground. So to get that like really sharp shoot, like shot, then you would probably have to like just stop halfway, like to where you pass it, and then just use all your force with it, and it would go where it goes. And then with the modern stick, you would want to like follow through with your pass, because then the ball goes where your stick goes.
Okay. I remember when, because we used to play lacrosse in gym class. I was terrible at it. But I remember one of my memories is I remember I shot it into the wrong goal, and it was a whole fiasco. Anyway, one of the other things I remember is we're supposed to cradle the stick. The listeners can't really see what I'm trying to do here, but do you have to cradle the stick for traditional lacrosse, or is that just a modern lacrosse thing?
Yeah, you definitely have to cradle for traditional lacrosse, and it's a completely different movement as well. So modern lacrosse, you know, it kind of goes like listen, talk, and listen and talk. So that, like motion with the modern stick, and then traditional, it's kind of completely almost opposite, like you don't want to like bring it towards your face. Like there's different cradles too. It's like a personal preference, but mine is kind of like just an up and down motion in front of you, and some people make like a C form or an I form, or some people even like low cradle it. I usually use like the I motion, so just going up and down like in front of you, scooping as well. Like you just follow through with the modern stick, and then scooping with the traditional stick. It's like you're wanting to trap a mouse, and then you draw like a backward C, and then just scoop it up. And once the handle of that, you could just scoop it up right then and there.
It seems almost rhythmic with traditional lacrosse, like the C shape you're describing, like large movements, and like the I shape. I don't even know if rhythmic is the right word, but like a fluidity to it where modern lacrosse seems like it's a little bit more, I don't know if cut and dry is the right word. My sports terms are turning into dance terms, but do you understand? Do you know what I'm trying to kind of say?
Yeah, I do get that. The games are kind of like different as well. Like there's basically kind of no rules to traditional except to respect others while playing. Like the men can make contact to men, like full on, no matter how hard, but they can't make contact to women or kids. And then, but the women and kids can make contact to the men. And it kind of goes on. The kids can make contact to all the adults, but the adults can't touch the kids and like play full on defense.
It seems like a nice rule.
Yeah. And there's like not really any like field limitations. It's just whatever's like around you. Like it just goes on. No refs, which is great. Once every goal is made, we'll always circle up. And that's like a thing we do too whenever we like start a game like full on. Like once we like huddle up, we'll smudge off and pray and play for the creator because we believe this game was gifted to us by the creator and it's a healing game. So we'll throw up the ball and we'll trill. We'll literally just call out to the creator to know that we are playing and we're going to just go at it. So basically then the non-natives like seeing this game, they kind of just appropriated it, like made it more elite. They made all these fancy changes, more rules, because they kind of saw us playing it as like savages when that's not the case at all. That was us trying to heal to our people and to connect to the earth, the water. And that's when I kind of realized it was a healing game because we're connecting to our land and praying to the creator. And one of the teachings I had was water is healing. Like either crying, like you're getting rid of all that bad energy, you're healing yourself, like sweat, that's water. Going through all that, like I realized it was like, it is like a healing game and it is for the creator.
That's so, first of all, beautiful, beautifully put. And I think that's so fascinating because when you're describing how you play the game itself, like you mentioned, like respect and you know the gameplay I kind of mentioned as like fluidity to it and how you mentioned like about water and connection to the earth, like that's so cool. Like
yeah,
freaking colonizers ruin something again.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a little sad too because then because of all these fancy changes and expensive stuff, then lacrosse became kind of known as a preppy sport or a rich white boy sport. And that's being an indigenous woman who plays this game or has the opportunity to play, it's just mind-boggling. Like I didn't even know it was like that stereotype and I was like, are you serious?
Let's get back to your experience playing the two sports, these dueling sports throughout your high school career and now as a collegiate athlete. What has that journey been like?
So it wasn't till freshman year where I was like, I do really like this game, modern, because it was just fun, like playing with my team and just getting to know the sport. I was just like, maybe this is my sport. I didn't know any of the rules. I honestly didn't know there was a goal circle. Funny fact, for the first day of tryouts, like, I was doing pretty okay, I guess, and I went to go score, but I guess I ran right into the goalie circle and tried to score, and the, goalie obviously saved it because I was in her circle, and everyone was like, oh, wait, there's a goal circle, like, and just teaching me all these, like, lines and stuff, and just, like, where the restrictions were, and I was just like, oh, shoot, I'm so sorry, so I kind of embarrassed myself with that, and I was just like, great, now I need to learn all these like field rules, because I had no idea that was a thing.
If anyone listening hasn't seen a lacrosse game, you might be wondering, what is this field look like? Because you mentioned the goalie circle. It's kind of like a football field, in a sense, if you're familiar with the sense of a football field, but there's a little bit more to it. Can you just sort of explain what a modern lacrosse field looks like?
Yes, so
picture.
So yes, it's mainly played on like a football field. I would divide it as like three parts. because there are three positions for lacrosse, technically four if you're including goalie. So there's attack, which is offense, and there's midfield, which is offense and defense, and then defense. So let's just say like these three positions kind of have their own like zones, I guess. So attack would mainly stay at their like restriction. There's a restriction line for like what they can pass and like what they can't pass through. So they'll stay mainly in that section of the field. And then defense is the same thing on the other side. For midfield, since it's playing both attack and defense, like they can run around everywhere. Like the middle part is like where the start of the game goes, where the draw happens. I would say like look at it in three different sections and you can see too from like each team like what they are and like what their zones are. Okay. And then for the goalie, two goals, each one has like a circle around it and that's the goalie circle. So almost no one can go in that circle at all.
So what position do you play?
So I play predominantly like attack and midfield. Like I kind of switch through. Or I would play attack, but I'm taking the draw.
Cool. I think that's what my roommate did when she our position. Yeah. I don't quote me on that. Or don't quote myself on that. Whatever. Shout out to Maddie, my roommate. I'm from college.
I love it.
So cool. Thank you for describing that and painting that mental picture. That's very helpful. So you're playing this game for the first time. You don't even know the rules, but you made the team.
There's like obviously varsity, JV, and B or C. For me being a beginner, I was obviously on the beginning team, the C team. Then I started to learn more of the game and like more of the rules. I was just like learning and playing at the same time, basically.
Which is the best way to learn anything, I think.
Yes, just definitely. Like that's
helped you
definitely,
so much.
Like my way to like learn. So at the end of like freshman year, I earned the most valuable player for the C team.
Hey.
Yeah. It was funny too, because my dad was just like, what? You got MVP? Like he was so like stoked with that for me not even knowing like the rules in the beginning of the year.
What a hero's journey that is from like beginning to end of the season.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what happened next?
Okay, so I'm still like playing both the games. I'm still learning. Sophomore and junior year were my JV years. I was wanting to aim for varsity junior year, but I ended up getting JV. And I was pretty disappointed in that, but I still played throughout. My high school that I played for, it was in the really like high rankings for our sports. Like,
okay,
we were pretty well known for like sports. And look, for both the boys and girls team of lacrosse, like we were either in the number 2 or number 1 or number 3 for like rankings in our district and state. I think it wasn't till like almost junior and senior year where I like wanted to pursue it, where I was just like, this is really my sport. Like I love it. I want to try to aim for college and I want to share the game. So any opportunity I would take, I just try to teach both the games or traditional lacrosse. Like I was in a few programs where I would give speeches. One of them that I remember more was I was part of a program called College Horizons. And that is like a very selective group for Native students who want to learn and experience college life. So we went to University of Michigan for a week and stayed in the dorms, went to lectures and just learned about the just college campus and just what college would be like. At the end of that, we had like a night where we shared like our interests, our culture, like what inspires us. And I shared traditional lacrosse and I had a presentation on it. And I shared like what my group is, a little bit of the history, and I had a few sticks with me. So I had a little fun like ending to it where I like chose out a few like volunteers, and they just learned how to pass to me and how to catch.
That's so awesome.
Everyone was like cheering too, like if they would scoop it right, or if they caught it right, or like almost, or if they threw it really well, they're just like, oh, look at that. So they really liked it, and that really warmed my heart.
That must have been a really rewarding experience for you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Awesome.
So let's talk a little bit about your experience sharing your sport. And I'll say I found you via TikTok, and mm-hmm. I was just so impressed by your channel. And then also, is that what they call them, TikTok channels? I'm so old.
I know for a fact it's not channel though. Like, I don't even know. I say profile. Like
profile sounds good. I don't know
if that's the right term, or page.
Your TikTok page. I found you via your TikTok page.
That sounds a lot better.
And specifically, the video that came up on my For You page was you with your lacrosse stick and showing how you make lacrosse sticks. So now that you kind of mentioned the sticks in that sense, can you talk about your journey through making the lacrosse sticks and how you ended up on TikTok and that part of your story?
Okay, so for that specific video you've seen, I didn't make the actual stick. I only strung it. So
okay.
We do know a few people who can make sticks, and that make our sticks for our specific community. So those were just hanging in my mom's studio, and they wanted my dad to string them, but they were hanging there for like so long. Like, I don't know how long. It was so long though. They never got the chance to string it. And I just kept looking at them, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to string them. I want to string them. So that was when I just took them that day and I strung them in that night, like in that like hour or two time frame. So I just wanted to get it done. And I was just like, maybe this will be a cool TikTok. Like, I don't know. Just seeing me like string up a stick. So
yeah.
I didn't actually like make the full on stick though.
Okay.
For my TikTok page, and I was just like, I could honestly use TikTok as like a platform to share my culture and represent my people. Basically, I kind of just started off just like being goofy, like making funny ones about my height and being an indigenous woman. And that kind of got like a lot. And then I then just like started realizing that I could make videos of lacrosse, because I didn't want to just make random videos. I don't know, because that wasn't really that much fun for me.
Yeah.
Except just for friends, and I would just put it on my drafts. But then I was just trying to brainstorm some like lacrosse-wise videos and just like cultural-wise like videos. And then that got like more recognized, and I was just like, okay, I'll keep this going. So, and it wasn't till where I made a video called Differences Between Modern and Traditional Lacrosse. And I put it in parentheses as well, like the version I play, because there's not only one version. There was a part one, and that kind of blew up. And I seen like more indigenous TikTokers like follow me and comment, and some like cool like lacrosse accounts that had amazing women like playing the sport, and they were really good. And them like commenting on my like TikToks, I was just like, oh my God, that's so crazy. Like, me being a beginner to in the sport, they're like, they played since they were like little kids. And I'm like, you're so much more talented than me in this sport, but this is crazy that you're really interested in traditional lacrosse. Then I made a part two because it was recommended, and that kind of blew up as well, almost. Not as much as the first one too, but that was kind of when like they saw my account was basically on lacrosse kind of. Mm-hmm. And then I made another video where I was like, I wouldn't be here without traditional lacrosse. This is what introduced me to modern lacrosse. And they congratulated me on that. So then I just scattered on like videos of making funny like comedy skits for traditional lacrosse of like beginners playing it or just learning it.
That's awesome. I think our generation is in a really interesting, I say our generation, I'm a little older than you, but I'm still kind of Gen Z. I don't know. It's debatable. But I think I'll say our generation is in a really interesting position because we're told our whole lives, like, you can't trust the internet. Like, don't, you know, don't talk to the people on the internet and whatever, whatever. But yeah. What I found, especially with this podcast, there's so many incredible creators and such a wonderful community to be had based off people that you meet on the internet. And while there's definitely some cons to some people on the internet.
Yeah. I've met a few of those.
There are some jerks, but there are also so many just inspiring and intelligent people out there. And it's been, for me, it's been so great to connect with them and create a community. How has that been for you? You mentioned some really interesting people following you on your TikTok. Like, how has that community been?
So I was kind of recognized by like a few like indigenous TikTokers and who are verified on the app. And I got a few follows from them. And one of them that really stands out, her username is Indigenous Batty. Her name is Michelle. And she followed me and I went so crazy because she's amazing. Like, she's amazing. Like, her dream was to become a model to represent like just like our indigenous features and like just spread awareness for MMIW, which is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. Yeah. And she got featured on Teen Vogue.
Ooh,
and opportunities to model too. And I was just like, this girl is amazing. Like, and she's following me. Like, that is so cool. And I just then from there, like, seen so many other like indigenous like TikTokers and would see them comment on my videos or like them or follow me. And I just get like more excited. Like, it puts a big smile on my face. Like, and a few of my friends back at home too get it. And they get like TikTok clout, as they would as they would call it. And I would congratulate them on that as well. And we just have each other's backs. From like those TikToks, like, I did get recognized by a few like big lacrosse pages. Like, Looking at Lacrosse recognized my videos and they posted it on their profiles as well. So one of them is PLL, which is Premier Lacrosse League. And they seen my video and they posted it, but they posted my videos on it. And the Lacrosse Network is actually following me on Instagram.
Hey.
PLL did a little bit too. And that was just kind of crazy. They DM'd me about like updating them with new videos I made and so that they could post it. And I was just like, yes, that's so crazy. Like, I would definitely, I just went for that opportunity for sure.
Absolutely. That's so cool how you've been able to just further your reach. I'm sure you could never even imagine when you made your first TikTok how far this would go.
I did not think this at all. Like, and honestly, like, for my videos sharing more, like, I am gonna get more haters and stuff like that, or just people just commenting like random stuff. And but sometimes, like, I would just either ignore it or I'll just clap back and just say something like smart alecky, and then a lot of people will like that, and I'm just like, okay, bet. It doesn't bother me at all, like, whatsoever. I'm just like, okay, and
that's good. You have a good attitude, because it can be hard when people are just nasty. Yeah. And it's, as many wonderful things there are about internet and communities, like, that's like the one major drawback, or some people just can't help themselves, they just have to be trolls. They're just like, dude,
I know. And I just feel sorry for them. From those videos being shared and stuff, some people did see them, or my community that I lived in, like my district and stuff, would see that too. And then I would get more opportunities to like get interviewed or like to get an article published out and recognized by a few like lacrosse players, like professional ones. And one of them being Paul Rabel. That was just like completely insane. And my cousin like DM'd me when he first saw it. He was like, look at this, Nina. Like, he tweeted this. He quoted you. And I was just like, what? I looked at it and I literally like went to Twitter and I was just like, I don't believe this guy. It was there. And I was just completely like mind blown. The articles that I've had published out, he would see them, Paul Rabel, and like reshare it and then quote it and say, and would just like put a little note on it saying, thank you, Nina Polk, and like for sharing the game and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is a dream. Like,
what a like, rush.
Yeah, like professional players seeing my stuff, that's when I recognize like it's working. I am putting not only my name out there, but like the game.
Do you mind if we put the articles that you published in our show notes for the episode so that our listeners can read them?
Yeah, for sure. That was kind of when it all started. That was during my senior year, I would say. And okay. I was really aiming for it to be my varsity year. And I was pretty confident that it would be my first varsity year. And with COVID-19 hitting, our season got canceled.
Oh, right.
So I guess that is like another fun fact. Like my high school like career, I was never able to like play in a varsity game.
That just goes to show where like if you have the heart and the talent, like the titles and stuff don't matter. Like look how much you've been able to accomplish. Even though you never played varsity. Like whatever. Like look what you've been able to do.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So that was kind of when I was also like starting to like look for colleges. Mm-hmm. I wanted to aim for either D1 or D2. And also pursue art, kind of. So
right, because I don't know if you mentioned this before, but you're an art major, right? What's your major?
Yeah, studio arts, actually.
Studio art. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Fort Lewis College was kind of like my main goal, my main college to aim for, because it had the lacrosse program, the art program, and native tuition.
Native tuition.
And they were so like diverse and supportive for like whatever race, gender, like sexuality, like they're very open and supportive. And just the community around the school. It's small, the downtown, it's so nice. And just the land around me, like there's mountains everywhere. Being in Minnesota, like all I see is hills. They're like full on mountains around the campus and it's beautiful.
Oh,
well, that was like kind of the college I was aiming for. And during my senior year, then I was able to like officially sign. I was fully committed to playing there. And it was just crazy because like starting off not like knowing any of the rules of the game, I was able to like accomplish my goal to play for kind of my dream college, basically, like a D2 school with an amazing art program and being able to like be in a diverse community.
That's awesome. What an adventure.
Yeah.
You've had these past few years and you've got so much more coming to you. I can just feel it in my bones. You have so much going for you. I'm so excited to see what's your future's going to hold. You even like had one of your sticks in a museum. Is that right?
Oh, yes. So that was another thing. Like a lot of like the stuff and opportunities I were given were because of my team, my program, my traditional lacrosse group. And I play with a few like people who are recognized as well and like have done so many things as well. I was given that opportunity by Joe Horse Capture. And there was an exhibition going on for like indigenous like sports athletes and just like representing that. And he was like talking about that. He was like, hey, why don't we put Nina in that? And it's in the Netherlands too. And I was just like, what? So obviously I really wanted that. And I said, yes. So I gave him my old, I think my first lacrosse stick I ever played with, traditional one. And they had my senior photo on there with that lacrosse stick. And it was cool too, because like I think they had a little bit of what I said, what the game kind of is. And my dad was kind of stoked with that too, because I was like placed right next to a picture of one of the biggest like indigenous athletes of all time.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. His name was Jim Thorpe.
You were next to Jim Thorpe?
Yeah.
And oh my gosh!
It was cool too, because in high school I did a presentation on Jim Thorpe, and like one, I got an A, so not to brag, but it was so cool learning about him. And I was just like, this guy is amazing. Like, what the heck? Like, I can never. Like, he was so good. And me being placed right next to his picture, and that was such an honor, to be honest.
That is amazing. I have like tears in my eyes. Like, that is so incredible. I'm so excited for you. And unfortunately, that was during COVID, right? So you couldn't go and see it.
Yeah, like
sucks.
People were talking about like having me like actually present what I do for like other programs and stuff. Because of COVID, like I couldn't do that, and I didn't want to do that too, because I live with 3 of my grandparents. So yeah, that was a big risk.
Yeah, that sucks. Like, hopefully, like, after, I call it the plague. I don't know, I'm like a middle ages language person, but once the plague has passed, I hope that they reopen the exhibit so you and your family can go and take so many pictures. And
yeah,
that'd be a trip of a lifetime. Let's talk a little bit about the impact and relevance and the thematic connection. I mean, we talked a lot about TikTok and how you've been using that to teach and to kind of create community. But how else do we see this story and your story today in the world around us?
So I guess I would say, like, it really kind of just started off with TikTok. And from that, it kind of spread to like the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook pages for the lacrosse network and the PLL. And then that was kind of when the article started like being published, and where I'm getting more opportunities. Like right now too, I'm working with a radio show called Native Calling. I'm pretty sure, like if I remember it at the top of my head. Right now they're looking through like other like indigenous college students. They wanted my perspective being a student athlete, and they seen like my TikToks too. And they wanted me to like talk a little bit about traditional lacrosse as well. But I'm excited for that later on this year.
You're gonna have quite a portfolio. What would you say to little girls or anyone who is interested in following in your footsteps and learning lacrosse and learning the story of lacrosse?
My biggest goal about all this, like, not only just sharing the game, but just to inspire Native youth, especially, like, Indigenous little girls, because, like, we've been shut down a lot. Our land's been stolen. Like, we barely get recognized, or we have like highest ratings of like suicidal rates, like being missing and murdered, depression, like a lot. And it's just, it's very scary too. And we always get like some slurs here and there, or just hate for our culture. And it's just insane. And just a big amount of like racism too. And I have like experienced that too, but I bet like there's a lot of youth out there that experienced way more than me, or elders who experienced way more than me, like, and being bullied. Like, I got bullied too for my culture, and for like, they'll look at me doing for like what I do or like what I live by, and they're just like, why? Or they'll make fun of it or just question it. That was kind of the main reason why I was shut down or very shy growing up. and for like my old teams playing for them, like they'll just make fun of that like characteristic of me.
Oh, and, gosh.
Yeah. So because of like what I went through, like I know more like youth are going through that as well. That same exact thing. And I don't want them to do what I did, where I kind of just shut down and just like been the quiet kid. For the Indigenous, like First Nations, like kids, two-spirited kids, just don't give up. Like, be proud of who you are. Like, you carry the strength of our ancestors. Our ancestors fought for their lives, like sacrificed themselves for us to be here today. And for those who can't run or can't dance, like whatever you pursue, for us who can't do those things, do it for them and have a good heart, good mind, good spirit while you do it. Like that's a teaching of ours. Like always have good thoughts for if it's braiding your hair or cooking, like that energy can go to other people around us and totally change that space. So I play for my people. I play for those who can't. I pray for my elders and for my ancestors, just thanking them, being grateful for where I am today.
Well, that was beautifully put. Oh my gosh. There's a reason why you're a speaker and why you're so influential. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. The theme of this year has been close to home, stories that make you feel close to home. And I hope that our listeners can really feel the thematic connection in this episode, why this story is so close to home for you, but just in general. You know, I think it's interesting especially with a story like lacrosse that could go in so many different directions. You know, being from Maryland and my experience with a whitewashed colonizer's lacrosse, and then talking to you and like learning your story with lacrosse and its true connection to your home and your life and to your journey. It's been so great. It's been so great talking to you. Is there anything else you want to say before we have our official wrap-up conclusion?
One of my goals for this year is to teach the game to my team and possibly for my school. So all of my like assignments I've done before, or like art projects or video projects, they've been about my culture or lacrosse. I did a little mini documentary about lacrosse, and I'm keeping my commitment to this game and to art. I'm still trying to like learn about myself and like what I want to do in the future. Being younger, I really thought it was going to be art, but if I do art, I want to do it where I represent my culture or lacrosse. Mm-hmm. Or if I play professionally or do something with lacrosse, like I would want to go through that path.
That's awesome. Well, you're going to do great things. I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to do some really great things. And I feel so cool that you came on my podcast to tell me about it.
One of my goals I want to try to do, like some of my teammates and roommates have like seen that Paul Rabel's seen my stuff. And one of them was just like, what if he comes out here and meets you? Or what if you meet him or do something? And I was just like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be pretty cool.
You know what? But shoot your shot. Shoot your shot. If you're listening, Paul Rabel, come on. Get in touch. It'd
be so cool if I could like meet a professional like player like Paul Rabel or Taylor Cummings. Or I do really want to meet the Thompson brothers. For sure. Like my cousins were able to, and that's so cool. But that was like when I was young and still like trying to learn who they were. So I was just like, right. Okay, nice. But I really wanted to meet them so badly.
Well, if they're listening, as I'm sure they are, contact Anaina. And if they wanted to contact you and learn more about you and your journey, how can they do that? Look at that segue. How can they do that?
My Instagram is Polknina. So Polknina, all one word, lowercase. And my TikTok is Nina, the little underscore line, Polk. And that's lowercase as well. I do want to give like a big shout out to Twin Cities Native Lacrosse. None of this would have happened if it wasn't for that program and like for my mom and Unchi, like, which means grandma in Lakota. But they also like seen that and introduced it to me. Just a big shout out to like my family and that program for like supporting me through all this. And like, I love them with all my heart. Absolutely none of this would have happened if it wasn't for them. Their Instagram is TC Native Lacrosse, and that's all one word, lowercase. Their Facebook is the exact same thing, and their Twitter is TC_Native_Lax.
Awesome. And I will be sure to put all of this information, Twin Cities Native Lacrosse's info and your info, in our show notes. So if you want to check those out, you can do that with the links. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Nina. This has been delightful.
Thank you for this opportunity. Like, I was really stoked about this as well.
Once Upon a Time, a storytelling podcast, was produced by Talia Smith and Emily Joba. You can buy us a coffee to support this podcast at buymeacoffee.com/onceuponatimepc. Our guest today was Nina Polk, and our story was that of lacrosse. Our featured artist this week was also Nina Polk. You can check out Nina's work on our Instagram and in our show notes. Music is Heart of Acceptance by John Bartman. Our Instagram is @astorytellingpodcast. And our email is astorytellingpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, too. You can listen in on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening right now. Links to all of our resources are in the show notes and on our website. The end.